everybody, and welcome to Roms Over Baghdad. I'm Albie, your host for this evening. We are here on a video game podcast to talk about primarily, but not exclusively, video games. Joining me today on the giant round table, Mary.
Hey, hi. I'm really tired because I stayed up until 3:30 in the morning making chili.
What kind of?
Hey,
what
I got up at 3:30 this morning.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Why? Why'd you wake up so early?
So I take some medication and it fucks with my sleep. And for some reason, I wake up at like 3 a.m., 3:30, like almost just consistently sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then I just can't go back to sleep.
Oh, that's got to be shitty. But at least it's the weekend or whatever, so.
Yeah, because my new job, I work East Coast hours. So, like, 6 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I get up fairly early, but 3, Jesus.
Yeah, that's a little excessive. Man, our chili we made was pretty fucking excessive, and that's why I guess it took until 3 in the morning. Like, we used the, like, barbecue grill to, like, grill all of the vegetables, had to blacken the peppers so the skins would come off, but we also grilled all the onions. And short rib, like beef, was on sale, so I had to brown all the pieces of beef, then we had to cut it up, and it took for fucking ever to cook everything, so, yeah. But it's good.
What kind of beef did you use? Like
short ribs. Boneless short ribs, because they were on sale at the HEB, so, yeah.
See, we only use, like, bad cuts of meat or whatever, right? Like, I use, like, what is it? Not in flank steak. Kind of flat. Ribeye? No, it's not ribeye. What? It's the... I don't know. It's not very good cuts of meat.
Fajita meat style?
Yeah. Yeah, fajita meat stuff, right? But I don't know. I think that works out well because you're not really tasting the meat very much. It's all, like, spices and
what?
Stuff.
What? Are you crazy? That's
kind
like...
of. It kind of breaks down into, like, a nice, you know... You don't need that high... You don't need a high-quality steak.
But it's so good when you have, like, the big chunk of beef falling apart in the, like, I don't put any tomatoes in my chili either. It's all, like, rehydrated, dried peppers. I used, like, four or five different, no, I used five this time, different kinds. And, yeah, it was a total pain. Actually, I think it was, like, six, counting the fresh ones. Six or seven.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. No, six. Because chipotle is just smoked jalapeno. And yeah, I don't know. I'm tired. I'm making no sense because I barely slept.
Also, Jake's here also. I don't know if you got that.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, how you doing, Jake? How's your chili?
Man, I was doing all right until, like, today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been playing The Fall Part 2.
Okay.
Because I loved the first one.
I hear good things about that first one.
The first one's excellent. First one is a great game. It took them 4 years to make the second one, and it's not great.
Okay.
Why?
Well, first, my question is what makes it not great, but also, like, what's the difference between the first one and the second one? Like, what's
A big one is the combat system is different.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first one, it was kind of a cover-based thing where you, like, pop out and shoot and do all that stuff. Because, I mean, that kind of makes sense with a 2D.
Sure, yeah.
But they changed it into a, like, this targeting system, kind of like Z-targeting, except... Whenever you click the target button, if there's more than one enemy on the screen, it just picks one at random. It doesn't pick the one you're pointing at.
What?
And there's, like, it's like platforms and shit. It looks like a Smash Brothers level. Like, those are the big combat sections.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They look like torn or like real basic Smash Brothers levels. And when you shoot your gun, it takes energy, so you can only fire, like, 3 or 4 shots before you have to sit there, and you can't jump when your energy is down either, which really sucks. So it's, like, take a couple shots at someone, and then, because usually, like, one or two, shots from the very first, like, if the first couple shots do a lot of damage and the second, the last couple don't do as much.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really fuck yourself over in those fights. If you can't,
yeah, okay,
if
I can see that. Okay.
Diminish all of your energy and you can't jump and you're sitting there and
mm-hmm.
getting hit by everything because you can't jump out of the way.
Okay. All right. I think I see what you're saying. That makes sense to me.
And the enemies are all, you can't just shoot the enemies. They go through like animations, and then you have to hit them. It's like, you can only do damage when they're blue. It's like, okay, so some of them will just like shoot a projectile, just a basic projectile at you, and then turn blue for a second, so you just dodge it and shoot them. Easy. And then other ones are like these like cloud looking things, and then they change color and they shoot like a spread, like
okay.
a line basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one that pounces at you, and like after it pounces you can shoot it. But I found myself running, like jumping into the pouncing ones when I'm trying to jump around the other ones. And the hit animations, you take too long to stand back up is a huge problem. And there was parts in that game where one enemy killed me because they would hit me, and then I couldn't move out of the way fast enough because the get up animation takes for fucking ever. And then it hit me again, mm-hmm. I'd fall over again, and then that would just happen over and over, and I'd just die. And on a lot of those big fight segments, there's not a checkpoint right at that segment. So when you die, you have to go back and do the last like 5 minutes and then skip through all the fucking dialogue and shit to get to the fight. So that's one of my
awful,
that's one big complaint about it. The next one is the puzzles are just fucking bad. Like,
okay.
the first game was notorious because it had really hard puzzles. But the difference was it gave you a little bit of feedback on what you were doing wrong. This one doesn't at all. And it turns into a complete pixel hunt.
Okay.
Where there was a part where I was just going around everything I can interact with. I did every action I could on it and just went through the entire area and did that until I got the next thing. And like this game is the most I've ever looked up solutions to puzzles ever in any game I've ever played.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing it more and more toward the end because I just wanted to see the end. And I'm like, I don't have fucking time for this. I just go look it up. And
it sounds like the experience you're having is something I've had quite a few times with games where I recognize, like, maybe there's some quality parts to it, but like, I just bounce off it. It's just like it seems like maybe alone some of these things aren't like the worst thing in the world, but it just, you know, together it feels like it makes it something that you just probably would bounce off of. Like, it just seems like a perfect cocktail of things that would make this game unenjoyable for you. Or for anybody, really.
Yeah, for the puzzle thing, like the solutions I looked up didn't make any sense, but
that's
that
what
was
I was
the solution.
About to ask, yeah, like did they at least
and
make
then,
sense logically after
no,
you looked them up?
No, there's a couple of them that don't make any fucking sense. When I read the way to do it, I'm like, how the hell was I ever supposed to figure that out? Like, that doesn't make any goddamn sense because there's a lot of little key things about a puzzle that they don't tell you, like they don't just mention it.
That's the fucking worst.
at the last boss fight, they mention, hey, do this. But it doesn't tell you what that does. It just says, hey, do this. And then the boss just infinitely spawns enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just eventually die. It doesn't tell you this is what it does. You need to do this.
Okay.
Just something tiny. It's like, hey, when you do this, it seems to react to it, or just kind of blah blah, just give me something, and then I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. But like, I died at the last boss fight like 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and I looked it up. I was like, nah. And then get this, I I didn't quit through the menu. I just hit Alt F4 and it deleted my last 3 hours of progress.
Oh.
Yep. So I just uninstalled it. So now I'm done. Went and watched the ending on YouTube, which is fucking bad, by the way. And this game is supposed to be a fucking trilogy, but they took 4 goddamn years to make the second game. And the ending's a complete cliffhanger.
Hmm.
And,
see you back later in like 5 more years or whatever.
I'm super sad. I'm super bummed about having to say this because I loved the first one so much. I was so excited for the second one to come out. And it comes out and I played through most of it and it got to the end and I was just like, no, I'm done. Like, I was more frustrated than I was enjoying the game. And it's like, what's the point of playing a video game? And I know this is a hot take. What's the point of playing a video game if you're not having fun? I know a lot of people play just like podcast games or whatever, but I mean, when I sit down and I put the time into a single player game or a multiplayer game, it's because I want to go have fun. And when the game is more frustrating, it takes me out of it.
Diablo 3 is fun with a podcast. I don't know. Sorry.
You know, the thing you're describing of that, like, you having to go up and it's the reason I never finished A Witness yet. It's always sat on my computer, that same kind of, like, you know, I can get some of the puzzles, but every once in a while it seems like there's a puzzle that just, like, it makes no sense. Like, I don't get, you know, very, like, headspace puzzle where they're expecting you to be in a very certain place to see the hints they're trying to give you or whatever. Like, that's the reason The Witness kind of bounced off for me, and I don't know, I could see myself also probably bouncing off of this game if what you're describing is true. Like, sometimes I think video game puzzle designers often want you to see it the way they do, where it's like, the difficulty is everybody's coming at things in different ways or from different directions or in different mindsets, and that can definitely lead to all the puzzles feeling awful. Like, I don't know. It seems like maybe they designed it, like, in their minds too much rather than on the games.
The thing about the puzzles is that there's a lot of puzzles that you just do. And it's like, why? Why couldn't I just go do this thing and not have to do a goddamn pixel hunt for an hour and try to figure this thing out? And it's, like, one of the big selling points that they had on their description or whatever, it's like 3 times longer than the first one. And you know why? It's because the walking speed is slow and the environments are huge.
Yeah.
So you spend a lot of time just, and if I might be a complete dumbass and miss the sprint key, but I pushed a ton of keys on my keyboard and it didn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's got to be frustrating, you know. If you mess up, you have to walk all the way backwards, and, like, you know, it just leads to making you feel like you don't want to play the game. It makes you feel like you're just doing busy work.
And there is some backtracking. So, like, I don't want to say they padded their game out, but it kind of feels like that.
That's a shame. I've heard a lot of good things about that first one. And everybody seemed to be, you know, going into the week, I know everyone was kind of hyping up the second one. It got some kind of okay reviews and stuff, and it seemed like people were liking it. It's a shame you bounced off it so hard. It seems, you know, I can't speak. I didn't play the game, but it seems like it's not good. That's a shame.
Like, the story was getting pretty good, and then, like, the actual real antagonist was revealed, and I don't give a shit. I didn't give a shit about him at all, because it's just this nondescript thing, and it's like, why should I care? It's like there's really no interaction between, you know, the antagonist and you until you just fight him at the end.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like it doesn't give you, like, what you want. Like, I don't know, it seems like... It's also, I think it also probably suffers from the middle part of the trilogy, right?
Yeah.
Like, it seems like it's that. It's suffering from the same thing, like, a lot of movies do, which is, like, you're not going to conclude anything. You're just kind of keep this story going. And there's not been a lot of those in video games where the trilogy kind of continues. I mean, in fact, the one thing I always thought of was Mass Effect 2 was obviously the best in the Mass Effect trilogy, which is kind of a break from how movies do it, which is often like the middle part is the weakest. But it seems like they could have done a better job with that stuff and keeping you invested.
Yeah, but Mass Effect 2 had like a satisfying ending for its actual standalone chapter. Like, it wasn't just a bullshit cliffhanger at the end.
True, yeah, they did make and it's something you could probably point with Star Wars too, right? With Revenge of the Sith, whatever being the strongest. It's, you know, you gotta do two things with a middle chapter. You gotta keep the person invested and also tell some kind of story. Like, you know, you gotta keep the main story going, but also keep people invested enough in the actual product you're putting out. I don't know. Maybe that's my.
Yeah, when it starts fading to credits, like I was expecting something else to come up, and it's just like to be concluded. And at this point, I didn't know this was supposed to be a trilogy. And
sure.
Then
yeah.
I seriously just like pushed myself away from my desk, threw my hands in the air, and was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" It's like, you want, okay, cool, I'll wait 5 more goddamn years for you to make the third part, and then it'll probably be bad.
Yeah, I think it's that middle part then becomes so much exacerbated by that, especially with how long dev times are. You really gotta nail every single one of those games to keep people invested, or it ends up being a real problem. I mean, it's why I got so upset with Kentucky Route Zero. Is like, great, you put out another chapter, see you in 10 years, like, I don't know.
Haven't played Act 4 of Kentucky Route Zero because I'm waiting for 5, and then I'm just going to start over.
And yeah. Just,
I don't remember a goddamn thing about what's happening in Kentucky Route Zero. I don't. At all. And it's like, here's 4 after 2, here's episode 4 after 2 years, and it's like, what's the point?
Yeah. I wonder if you go back when the Fall 3 comes out, if you wouldn't, I don't know, maybe this one would sit better then. Maybe it would be like, I don't know. Not to say you should replay it, but maybe, you know, I'd be interested to see what your thoughts are if you play the Fall 3 in 20 years or whatever. See what you think of all of them together as a trilogy, since, yeah.
There was a small thing I saw mentioned in one of the very few negative reviews of this game. There's a sequence in the trailer of, like, a woman, like a blonde woman with blue eyes, and she's saying something at, like, an angle to the screen, like it looks like an actual cutscene. That's not in the game. Like, and that kind of says something about the developers or the publishers. Like, that just didn't sit well with me. Like, I played through it, and then I read this guy's review, and he said the thing. I was like, oh, yeah, that was in the trailer. I totally forgot about that.
Is that trailer still, like, on the store page, too?
Yeah, it's on. Yeah, it's right on the store page.
Oh, jeez.
I was expecting to get some cool cutscenes, but nah, none of it's lip-synced either. They just do fish mouths.
No, like, it's bad enough when movie trailers do that, like, game trailers, because it is, like, not, yeah, why?
And then all, like, a bunch of these positive reviews, I mean, some people are like, the story's really good, blah, 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 but they're really, some of them are really short and just say, I really like the story, it was good, if you like the first one, this one's cool. But then other ones are like, the controls aren't very great, the puzzles are stupid hard, I had to look a lot of them up, but the story was really good, recommended. It's like, excuse me?
Yeah, it's not like a book or whatever.
It's not about the destination, it's about the journey, and if the journey's not fun.
Also, if you have to look up puzzles, I feel like that says a lot about the game. Like, I don't know, that says some bad stuff. Like, if you include that, like, oh, it's a good game, I had to look up some puzzles, like, I don't know, that seems like a slight against it. It's weird.
Like, honestly, I haven't played The Witness, but I'm sure that's probably, I mean, Jonathan Blow seems like a smart guy. I'm sure those are well-designed puzzles and they make sense. Maybe not, I don't know, but, like, shit, man. The last game I remember looking up a puzzle or looking up a puzzle solution for was the Swapper. Because right. I spent like 45 minutes on that thing and I was like, okay, I gave this a good shot. I want to move on. So I'm just going to look it up. And I looked it up and I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And I was satisfied with that and I could move on. In this case, I went and I looked it up and it's like, here's a solution. I was like, that's stupid as fuck. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's the solution to this? Really? How was I supposed to figure this out?
Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from. It's, yeah, I don't know. It's, puzzles are always, like, I feel like that has to be the hardest thing in video games, designing puzzles, because it takes so much work to make sure they actually make sense.
Actually, now that I think about it, there are a couple of sections, a couple of puzzles, that do give you a little tiny bit of feedback, but there's like two, and they're already pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, Jake. I mean, that's, you know, if you didn't like it, I mean, if you didn't like it, I don't know.
It pains me. It pains me to have to say this shit, but maybe don't buy the second episode of The Fall.
Huh.
Just play the first one, enjoy it for what it is, and then just don't play the second one. Or play it for under 2 hours and see if you like it, and if you don't, just return it.
Well, at least right now, they have a bundle of the first game and the second game, and it's the same price as the second game by itself, so that's weird.
Smart. That's, yeah, weird, and also smart, I guess, in some ways. Like, yeah, that is weird. What the hell?
And they put some important mechanics, like the keys to trigger important mechanics that you need to do while moving next to your move keys. It's like, come on. Like control doesn't do anything. Alt doesn't do anything. X and C don't do anything. It's like, come on, I can hit those with my thumb.
Yeah.
But no, I have to do this, and then I'm trying to move to the right, and I need to do the thing. So I have to take my finger off that, hit that, go back, and then everything's fucked.
Okay, well.
The story was kind of cool until the end, I guess, but don't buy it. Then other than that, I played some standout Battle Royale VR and lost a bunch because I hadn't played in like 2 weeks.
Well, okay. But did you play anything else?
Nope, that was it.
Okay, all right. That seems rough.
Getting destroyed in Battle Royale and playing a game that was more frustrating than fun and took me 11 hours to get to the end, and the average play time was like 4 on Steam. So
that seems shitty. Let's move on and talk about something not shitty, shall we, for a little bit? Mary, let's talk about Solitaire. Is that not shitty? Is that?
I mean, I don't know. I felt kind of shitty because I played way too much Solitaire. I don't.
Yeah. Give in to the Solitaire, Mary. It's great.
It was strategic. Whatever.
It was Stratego, some might say. So you played Shadowhand. That's a game. I think we talked about that literally last podcast. It's a cool game. I like that developer a lot. They made Regency Solitaire also. It seems cool.
There's a sale going on in Steam right now, and that game was on sale, and it was in a bundle with Regency Solitaire for like 80 cents extra. So I went ahead and finally bought them. Just call me Mommy, because I'm all about the mom games now, apparently, this week. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, the story is kind of really dumb, actually. It's pretty nonsensical. Like, there's a main plot line, but some of the chapters that they put in there are basically just filler, like Dragon Ball or something. There's a bunch of bullshit that you could easily chop out, but then you wouldn't have so many puzzles. And that's what I'm there for. Just the whole equipment system is very fun. The way it actually displays on your character. Did Regency Solitaire do that too?
No. I mean, actually, yeah, no. There was dresses?
Yeah, like dresses and fans and stuff. Did that display on your character when you would change them out?
I think so. I think they did, but I can't quite remember. I believe they did, though. I would go with yes, they did. I would have to look it up to make sure, but there was definitely, like, equipping items or whatever.
I mean,
like, very basic stuff.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'll find out because I'll probably play it after I beat this game. But just all of the different equipment and getting gold, like you can go through and repeat previous chapters to get more gold. So you can buy different abilities and passive abilities, weapons, items. Just all the different factors, like some enemies will use fire damage, there's sea and land weapons, just building a character around all that stuff is a lot of fun. And it actually does get pretty hard. Like, I'm playing on normal, and most of the time I have to retry because of bullshit like Shanghai or Mahjong or whatever style layouts where I just get fucked by, like, the RNG of how stuff is laid out. But sometimes it's because my build is not great against a certain character, and I have to see, like, what their moves are, like, if they're going to throw rats at me or not.
Oh, God, throw rats at you. That doesn't sound fun. Don't throw rats at people.
I mean, like, I guess pirates, that's their main defense weapon. Besides throwing Molotovs at you, they also like to throw rats.
Gross.
Yeah.
That's a gross attack.
They make you bleed and get poisoned, and that's a pain in the ass. So, yeah. It's a fun game, though. I was playing a lot of it because, like, basically all day yesterday while I was making chili, because I could just leave it running on the computer, play a couple hands, then go check, like, stir everything, make sure it's not bubbling too hot, then go back to solitaire. And then, like...
Yeah.
When I was trying to go to sleep at 3:30 at night, whenever I would close my eyes, I would just see, like, 9, 8, 7, 6, 7.
Yes, I had that exact same experience when I played a lot of Regency Solitaire. I was so deep in, I was having those Tetris moments of, like, all right, I can see these cards. I can match these cards up. And, it's I don't know, man. People often like think about solitaire games like that and like this kind of mom game thing or whatever. But man, it's fucking really good in like a pretty visceral way. Visceral way, like it just feels good, man.
It does when you get like
getting long combos.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it feels really nice, and then you get a long combo, and then fuck up an enemy, and then also find, like, a special item hidden underneath all of the cards that you got. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, if I was going to complain about anything, it would just be that the story is kind of stupid, but whatever. That's not really what I'm playing it for anyway. I'm just playing it for the solitaire.
And when you get to Regency Solitaire, you're in for a treat. You're in for some gambling. You're in for some high times.
Do people do drugs in it?
There's a lot of drug doing. There's a dude that certainly does drugs in that game.
Okay. Well, there was a neat part in the story in this game that was about writing pervy letters to dudes. And that was kind of interesting, but... so far it's pretty standard. Like, there was a part that was very Downton Abbey, but I guess that makes sense for what time period it's set in and everything, too.
I really like this developer and the stuff they do with both of these games. Like, I wonder how well they've sold, but it's like, they're so good at making this game. They've perfected it. Like, every time they make one of these, it seems like they go further and like do different things with it that I didn't expect, like all the RPG stuff I would never expect from them.
But. Yeah, like, for what it is, it's very well made, and it's a lot of fun. And, yeah, I was playing even more of it this morning, just because I was hoping I could maybe beat it, but I think I have, like, 3 more chapters to go. Just because I missed one of the chapter goals this morning, so I was like, fuck it, I'll go back and replay the whole chapter. And, yeah, I don't know. It's fun. I like it. It's simple.
It's great. Yeah, it's simple. It's fun. Man, I played a lot of that game at one point. I was playing, like, a lot of Regency Solitaire. Like, several hours a day I was into it, man. That's great. I'm glad you're really enjoying Shadowhand. It seems like a really neat game, and I should probably pick it up. I didn't realize it was on sale. Didn't even think about it.
Yeah, at first I was like, $11. That's too much for one of these kind of games. But no, it's totally, like, a right amount of money. I even like some of the music. Like, there's one track that reminds me of Castlevania, like, Symphony of the Night Clock Tower music. There's another track that's all Renaissance Fair, Hey Nani Nani, with, like, drums and stuff. Hey, but it sounds pretty good. And another track actually sounds like a song in Final Fantasy Tactics. It's, like, the marsh area, the music there. I don't know. It's okay. It's pretty neat.
Cool. Yeah, are you playing anything else, though? You play any...
Yeah.
Size of Solitaires?
I spent more money, even though I probably shouldn't have, but season 13 of Diablo 3 is starting, like, on the 23rd, and I had a shit ton of podcasts I needed to catch up on, so I was like, you know what, I wanted to play the Necromancer, so I went ahead and spent money and bought the Necromancer. So now I have a dude, Necromancer dude, named Elric, and he looks like Jeremy Irons in The Time Machine.
Okay.
And, yeah, just look that up. Just Google image search that shit.
Sure. All right.
So, yeah.
That's a weird connection to make. That's a real weird connection to make.
I mean, he looks exactly like him. I don't know.
Okay.
I saw that movie a long-ass time ago, but it's kind of funny. Yeah, I'm just playing through it, trying to get good equipment before the season starts so I can have it ready to go in my stash. Just trying to fuck around and see what, like, kind of build I want and everything. The only thing that's kind of disappointing is that, like, I don't know, Diablo 2, I feel like you could have a lot more skeleton guys in your little roving army than you can in this one, but it's been a long, long time since I played Diablo 2, so maybe I'm just misremembering. But yeah,
what do you call
fun.
A pack of skeletons? It's like a...
The technical term? I don't know if there is a technical term, because walking skeletons aren't real.
Oh. But there should be. Is it like a horde? A horde of zombies. Well, it's like a skeleton, you know? Like a horde of skeletons? That doesn't seem right. I don't know. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was thinking
that. I don't know.
A pack?
Yeah.
A pride of skeletons?
A murder. Like
a
crows.
Murder of skeletons. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's cool. I have this legendary ring that spawns little goblin guys. So that helps. Ooh. That helps fill out my team. But yeah, I don't know. I am very slow at doing characters in Diablo 3 because even though I know it doesn't make any sense and you don't have to do it, I explore every part of the map instead of just running to, like, the quest stuff, like, immediately. So that's my bad. But yeah, I don't know. It's fun. I caught up on all the damn podcasts I hadn't been listening to, so that was cool. Another dumb thing I did this week, because I don't really have a lot of criticism, actual real criticism going this week, but, I reserved my hotel for the Texas Pinball Festival, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow, that should be a lot of fun. That seems neat.
Yeah, like, they sold out of tournament tickets, like, way, way before I thought I was going to be able to go, but that's fine. I haven't been going to Pinball League lately either, so I'm kind of shitty. Well, no, that's not true. We went last week. I got, like, 6 free games, and most of them were from Score, so
Dang. Married a pro pinballist.
Not really.
The pro-est.
It's off and on. Sometimes I'm good, sometimes I suck shit, but yeah, I don't know. That ought to be cool, so I will have a trip report after, cool. like, about a month from now. Like, it's the weekend of March 16th through 18th, so yeah, after that, I will tell you what kind of dumb shit I saw. And they actually, in the same town, they have a National Video Game Museum, too.
Yeah, I heard. I was just looking at the National Video Game Museums there. You should pick me up a hat. Pick
okay.
me up a hat from the National Video Game
okay.
Museum.
Okay. Then I can if find they, your hats. Address. I'll have to
yes,
send it to
Yes, then
you
can stalk
yes,
me.
Exactly.
Oh, God, no. No! That's neat that they have, like, there's not a lot of that kind of stuff around where I am, but it's neat that they can have, like, a big pinball thing. I know a lot of, I don't know, I know a lot of uncles and stuff that would be really into that.
Oh, come on. Rude. They would be like, yeah. Wow.
What? No. Like,
saying it's for old people?
No, I'm not saying it's for old. I would be into it as well. I'm sorry if it came out that way. But
video
you
games
know,
aren't
it's...
for old people.
The olds? I don't know. Yeah, it's
the olds.
Like,
yeah.
The olds. No, it's like, I don't know, like, there's a lot of, I've always been surprised how much those kind of pinball things never really caught on, because, like, I know a bunch of people that, like, you know, throughout age bracket, I would all be really into, like, a pinball thing, so, yeah, it's
I
cool
can
that you
tell
have one
you
around you.
Why mm-hmm. pinball has not caught on with millennials, because a table
uh-huh.
is $10,000 to buy
right,
new,
yeah.
that's why.
That's
be-
fair.
It's for old people, because they're the only ones with money.
That's a lot of avocado toast.
Yes, exactly.
Man, so much avocado toast. You don't even understand. No,
but
yeah.
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It'd be cool to have a pinball thing up around me. Beyond,
yeah.
like, the one at the bowling alley or whatever. Like, it's cool.
Well, that's the main reason I want to go to this one, because they're going to have a lot of new tables that I haven't been able to see yet. Like, Total Nuclear Annihilation and Dialed In. Stuff like that.
Hmm. Yeah. I'll be interested to really hear about what you think about that. That seems like a really neat event.
I hope it is.
Sort of jealous that you get to go. I'm sort of jealous.
Here's one tip I learned, though, from, like, going to the Houston Arcade Show. You might want to bring earplugs, because that show floor gets fucking loud.
Oh,
all
yeah,
the arcade machines going at once. And they also had, like, a DJ there at the same time, too. And
an EJ? Oh, no.
Yeah, pretty much. He was playing shit off of laptop, so yeah, totally. But, yeah, I got a headache pretty quick.
Huh. Yeah, I never really thought about that, but I bet a bunch of pinball tables cracking would probably make quite the racket. So
and a bunch of drunk people playing and yelling over each other too.
Is there like new pinball tables being made?
Yes.
Like, what's like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like
what's
those
the newest,
two I mentioned, Total Nuclear Annihilation. That's made by Spooky Pinball, and it's a table that has like a crazy ass '90s, like late '80s looking theme. But it's not like a movie license or a band license or anything. And,
wow, it's really neat looking.
The game Dialed In, I don't remember who made that one. It might be Jersey Jack, I'm not sure. But it has like weird phone integration or something. And it has like internet leaderboards and crap too. So I want to see that.
Cool, yeah. Keep an eye out for new... Keep an eye out for new pinball tables. I'd be interested to hear if there were... What's, like, the hot ones are showing at this event? What's the hot new...
Well, last year they had Elvira, or, like, the lady who plays Elvira. She wasn't technically Elvira because she is, like, fuck dressing up as Elvira for this shitty convention. But they announced a new Elvira table there last year. And this year guest is Lou Ferrigno, so maybe they will announce like
a
new...
a Hulk?
Yeah, exactly.
A Hulk? Yeah, that seems like something they would do. That's cool. All right, I will be excited to hear your thoughts from the field at the 2018 Texas Pinball Festival.
I might be weird and like print out stickers of our podcast logo just to give away.
Put them everywhere.
Yeah.
Just keep putting them every...
Tag shit.
Every pinball table. There you go. Let them know everywhere. Let them know. That's cool. Yeah, that seems like a really neat event, Mary. I'm interested to hear your thoughts there after you go.
It better be good because it's fucking expensive to go.
I bet. That seems... It should be a good time, though. I hope you have a nice time. All right. I'll mention two games quick if you want. You want to talk about... No, I'll talk about some games. Talk about Divinity 2. Divinity 1. Divinity Original Sin. It's actually probably like Divinity 4 if you wanted to be technical about all the Divinities there have been. But Divinity... I've been playing with Popcans. I've been playing Divinity Original Sin. With friend of the show Popcans. And that is a heck of a game. That seems like... The perfect encapsulation of D&D in a way that's amazing. As somebody that ran a D&D campaign, I was surprised how good that game is in like making me feel like I'm a fantasy man. And again, it's doing spells and moving around and casting magic missiles. It makes D&D into a video game in a way I think not very many other games have done. Like, it elevates that genre in a way I didn't expect it to do. Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool game. It's got a weird sense of humor. We were walking down a trail, me and Popcans, and a magical chest came alive and challenged us to chase it down the path. And after we chased it a while, it stopped, and we got up close to it, and it spawned a bunch of bomb minion guys, a bunch of bombers, a bunch of guys that blow up. So we had to run away. That was funny. It was a funny way to do that. Also, all the you can get like a pet talk thing, so you can talk to all the animals in the game. That's like the best thing, because all the animals are wild. Like, the chickens sound like a bunch of southerners. Like, they're all southern accents. It's great. Sound like, what's that chicken from Looney Tunes or whatever? The big rooster guy? What's the rooster guy?
Rockadoodle?
No, not Rockadoodle. I mean, yes.
There's a name I haven't heard in a while. Jesus.
I gotta look it up now. Looney Tunes, chicken.
Foghorn, Leghorn?
Foghorn. They all sound like Foghorn, Leghorn. It's the best thing ever. I was so surprised by, like... Oh, there's so many great moments. Like, there's so many crazy things that happen that you don't expect. Like, we were walking down this other path, right? And the kind of the main quest of the thing is you have to figure out right now, like the early parts is, there's been a murder in town and you gotta figure out who killed the person. So we were out and about outside of the town, which has been kind of overrun with a bunch of zombies and stuff, trying to figure out, hey man, what's going on? And we come upon this dog, right? This boxy. He's like, this dog, he's sitting out there. I talk to him. He says, yo man, I could use some help. I gotta show you where this treasure is so we can dig it up. And we kind of follow him down this path, and we get ambushed by a bunch of wolves. But little do we know.
Sounds pretty similar to your other quest you're talking about.
Yeah, well, we follow him down this path, and we get ambushed by these wolves, right? And then, man, we get into this big combat thing, but we don't realize that the dog, Boxy, is like a monster. Like, he tears through them. I've never seen anything like it. Like, he just... destroyed them all. It was amazing. It was like watching, oh, it was so good. We got so hyped from it. It was great. It was like this moment of totally unexpected, this like dog murdering through hundreds of wolves. It was great. And then he disappeared because he was actually a ghost and his master was dead. But that's a long story. Anyway, if you get a chance, I would say, hey, and you like kind of like D&D stuff, Divinity seems like really neat. I want to try the second game, but first we got to get through the first one, because we're having a lot of fun. We've been playing it pretty much every day this week, and it's been a great time, all things considered.
So, like, I played the very beginning part of it, but I wasn't actually playing it co-op. Like, how's the conversation stuff work co-op? Like, is that good? Because it was kind of lame for me to just pick whatever... everybody was saying, like, does that make it more fun?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, we've had a lot of situations like this one. The perfect example of it is Popcans is a monster, you see, and he doesn't know how to chill. So we come up, I don't know if you've played through the early parts of this, but there's like a fish vendor, right? And this guy, he's like debating on whether or not he wants to take a fish and run for it, right? But it ends up, I'm like, no, man, don't steal from this person. But Popcans is all in on letting this guy steal this fish. And so we get into kind of like the dialogue sequence. And the way they solve it in co-op is it's kind of like it's a rock, paper, scissors. So you rock, paper, scissors against each other to see who wins that conversation thing. So I'm really bad at rock, paper, scissors. I'm like not good at picking which one's gonna win. So he wins that one and lets the guy steal it. And then this cop guy comes over and he's like, hey, man. Did you just steal that fish? And he's like, no, you guys saw, right? You guys know that I didn't steal this fish. But because Popcans is a monster and a terrible person, he turns him in, even after I'm like trying to cover for him. It does this thing where you're like, it really feels like you get to create your own character and have your own voice. It's weird in that way. Like you really get a sense for these characters in a different way than I thought it would give you.
It sounds very fun. I kind of want to play it with Gary now because I know he would totally act like a monster too.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst. I mean, it's so cool to also that you mentioned that like dialogue system where when something happens, like, I don't know, you'll lose a combat situation or something like that, or you'll miss. And they'll talk to you and you'll go like, I don't know. For me, it was, I was missing a lot of attacks on this guy. So after the combat ended, Popcan's character gave me a lot of shit about it. Like, just like, you're terrible. You don't add anything to this team. And it was like, wow, okay.
Sounds familiar.
We're going to be like that. It's like, I don't know. It lets you paint your character very, like, I don't know. And it lets you interact in a way that I think is really special. Like, I can't imagine like a Mass Effect or something like that having a similar system where you get real, just conversations. You get to have real, you know, great conversation between each other, and it's great. It's just great. It's just they do so many smart things that I hope they continue on, and I hope other games can learn from because it's really makes for a special experience at times. Divinity. Go give it a try if you like the indie. The only other game I played a lot of was Final Fantasy XIV. Hi, hello. My name is MMO Man. I like MMOs. I enjoy those. And I got real into Final Fantasy XIV last few weeks. That game's pretty good.
No, it's not. Don't lie.
It's great. You get to do things like kill boars, and you get to ride chocobos. I haven't ridden a chocobo yet, but it's exciting to try. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. So I don't know. A bunch of us kind of got into Final Fantasy XIV this week. I had a free code for some time, or whatever, from a Humble Bundle or something like that. So I went out and I played Final Fantasy XIV, and I'll tell you, that game is pretty good. It really, I was really surprised by it. I had watched the No Clip documentary on the kind of the first round of it, the first Final Fantasy XIV before they came back and made it good. So that kind of got me into this whole, like, big story about the world was destroyed once, and now you're here in this new world, and I was surprised the most because I MMOs, traditionally, you look at WoW or something like that, you're not really in it for the story very much. You'll pick up some bits and pieces here or there, but it's mainly just like take a quest, run to objective, do objective, run back. Where this one, it's much more like cutscenes and real story stuff that I was surprised by. There's like a quest chain for your class. So I'm a lancer man. I got a lance. My lance lady. She does different things. But then also there's like this main quest line. Where you're kind of going through and trying to figure out what's going on with the magic things. There's been a disturbance in the forest or something like that. So it does a lot more story stuff. And it focuses on that stuff in a way I didn't expect. And it makes it kind of a very unique experience to have It sort of reminded me a lot of SOTOR, which I also downloaded this week because they're having a free SOTOR thing. If you don't even know, never mind. But I was surprised how much I was just enjoying it being a kind of solo experience, a solo story experience. It's a lot of fun. I think people often give it shit because it's Final Fantasy MMO, but it's a good time. And they also give you free time if you hit level 30, so I think it's pretty generous of them. So it's a cool game. I like it a lot. That's all I kind of have to say.
All I remember from my time of Final Fantasy 14 was like just making a bunch of bubble chocolate and fishing and stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm terrible at Final Fantasy 14.
No, I don't know. It's, you know, you should give it another try. You should give it another try. I'm just saying. Give it another
I
try.
I would, but I don't have a free Humble right. Bundle time. Like, yeah, I'm not paying a subscription.
Yeah, that's the one. That's one thing. Like, subscription costs. That's the reason I quit WoW all the way back. Was like I couldn't keep up with that subscription cost, and I felt like if I played something else, I was wasting time. You know, like I was wasting my time if it's not. If I'm not getting this done, like I can't get it done. You know what I'm saying?
I did find something I'm going to spend money on though.
What are you gonna spend money on?
Divinity: Original Sin, the game you're talking about. They have a special sale on it where you get two copies of the game, and it's like $20. So yeah, I'm gonna force Garrity to play it.
There you go.
Instead
you
of
go.
Playing the Dragon Ball FighterZ, which he also just got. So yep.
Oh, okay. They already got Dragon Ball FighterZ. I was like, oh man, I didn't know if I would recommend it over Dragon Ball FighterZ. That would have caused
me
quite
swap
a conflict.
Out. He can do in between. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Mary, you play D&D with me. You'll have a great time with Divinity. Yeah.
It was just kind of boring playing it by myself. I could see how like having another person like that helps even on like Ghost Recon Wildlands and shit. Like, of course, it makes it better, but.
Always want to have a second person. So that's all the game I played this week. If you want, we can move on to a little bit of news and then wrap this here podcast up. A little bit of news.
Sure.
Nice. Is that good? That's mellow melody. Melody.
More like smelody.
Got me real amped.
Go ahead.
Just say you got me real amped for the news.
Amped for the news. You want to put a little metal on it? News. News. My fucking throat. All right. So THQ Nordic has acquired the Coach Media GMB babby de boop de bee. THQ got back Saints. That's what happened. That's what happened.
Cool. That's probably a good idea. Yeah, that last game they made was not very good. So
yeah, like THQ Nordic has slowly been becoming like itself again in like a really weird way. Like, I was really surprised how much they're becoming THQ again. Like, they're slowly pulling their assets back to them in, like, I don't know, it's weird. It's weird, isn't it?
Well, yeah, they're doing a lot better job of buying a game company name than Atari and Infro Games or Infogrames or whatever the fuck that French company was.
I mean, they got back, what is it, Metro, right? They're probably going to get that Metro game published by them, and then just slowly kind of building the company again. It's weird. But I kind of dig it, and I'm kind of excited to see what they do. But because now they have Saints back, and it's just, you know, you could do something. I would be interested to see them make a new Saints game. That's not so tied down by the other stuff, like a full reboot. Full reboot to Saints. Make a new Saints. Let's do it. I don't know. It's cool. I was kind of blown away.
Also, maybe Dead Island won't suck anymore, but who knows? Probably not.
Yeah. Also, Volition and Red Faction are back together. That's great. Everything's going great. Very excited. Very excited for this news. Seems kind of cool. Seems like a good move. I'm excited to see where they go. Also, THQ Nordic is getting big again. That's weird. That's just weird to me. I don't know. Getting big again. Big. All right. What else we got to talk? Well, let's talk about this bill targeting. So some bills have come out. And bills, I don't mean dollar bills. I mean bills as in governmental bills. Targeting video game rewards in loot boxes.
I'm just like a bill.
I'm only a bill.
Sitting here on Capitol Hill.
Everybody knows that part. What's the next line?
No idea.
What's the next line? Yeah, I know.
Don't ask me.
So yeah, there's been some legislation that's kind of been put forward. It hasn't been adopted yet. That does some interesting things. So first off, one of the things is, one second, okay. One of the first things is that it obviously shows, the rarity and stuff of stuff inside of the loot boxes. One of the bills says you have to show that, in some kind of big way. You also have to have, an ID, required for sale of loot box games. If you wanted to buy an Overwatch, you would have to show an ID, because they're kind of considering it gambling. So to do that, you would have to have either a driver's license or something like that. I thought that was an interesting idea. Would cut down on a little bit of the targeting towards, minors and stuff, I think, a little bit.
I mean, this bill, one of these bills, wants them to, mandate the disclosing of the probability rates on the loot box rewards, and that's fine with me. Like, even if just that thing passes, that's cool. That's fine.
Yeah, because that'll deter people pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think that and the ID thing are really smart moves and, kind of good first steps. The ID law would reduce kids from having to, deal with that kind of gambling stuff. And then for people who do choose to, buy the game, having odds listings would make it a little bit more easy to tell if the thing you want is bullshit or not. I think it's a smart move overall. I think that's a good first step for this all, for this stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
I mean, people still spend money even if it's only a 1% chance you get this stupid thing. But yeah, Fate Grand Order makes so much money in Japan, even though it is literally only a 1% chance of getting the fancy people. But at least then you know.
My one question is, if you were going to put some kind of, age limit on this, where would you guys put it? Would you put it at, 18 or 21? Or, where would you, 16, something like that? Or, would you go for even higher? I don't know.
I would just keep it the same as, a mature rating, 17 or whatever, just because that thing already exists and it's not, And it's also, a voluntary thing. I would just roll it into the, sorry, Rain wrote in the chat, 69 years old, and it's making me crack up because I'm fucking immature as hell. But yeah, 17, just because it's already set up that way. And I guess if it's government mandated, that makes it a little bit different. And gambling age is 18, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I think 18, 17, something like that is fair. To try it for 21 in this, which I feel like, what?
Yeah, no.
That seems a little late, but 18, I know it's, see, then the often the problem is the parents would buy it for the kids, and that's kind of where this whole mature game thing got completely out of control at some point, because the parents would just buy it for the kids.
At least then things. The parents technically know. I think that's all most people really want, is that the parents are informed. There's a quote in this article linked in the news thing where they're talking with a GameStop employee about it, and he's like, well, these kids are already playing Roblox and Minecraft, and those are full of microtransactions in it too. And he's like, I think the parents just don't know / care. So just labeling the box saying hey, you have to pay, and it's not guaranteed shit when you pay money. That ought to be enough.
Also, having your parent have to provide an ID or something like that to buy it would make them go wait, whoa. It might make them actually look at it a little harder than just saying, yeah, whatever, you can get your Mind Blocks or whatever game you know, it would make them actually have a second look at it, so it might prevent some of that. So that's good, I think. I think that's a, you know, I think you got to start somewhere, and it's two very easy, very simple ways to do it. So I hope they go forward with it. Final battle news. Let me tell you about Assassin's Creed Origins Discovery Tour. Let me tell you about it. It releases 2/20. That's when it releases.
What is this? When we're recording.
What is this?
It's the educational thing that DJ and I were talking about last week. We were like, what's the deal? They haven't announced a release date or anything on this thing. Like, it's supposed to come out free on the game. We haven't heard anything about it. And Ubisoft finally released some big explainer on what all this is and what's in it. And they're actually releasing a standalone version of just the educational stuff for $20, and it'll only be on PC, so there's that. But it's kind of neat. They outlined a lot of details with it.
Cool. Well, that seems neat.
75 guided tours. You can go through, like, the main world of the game and still, like, ride camels and junk. You can play as a bunch of different characters, apparently, too. There are going to be specific in-game achievements for the educational thing.
Cool. Yeah, they often did that. They did, like, little, like, explanations of different... I remember playing Assassin's Creed 2, which is probably the last one I played. They did little, like, explanations of different landmarks or whatever, and I thought, you know, that's a cool thing. If they could tour that stuff in this game, I think it'd be really neat. I would definitely play that.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing there isn't, like, an actual in-game, like, encyclopedia like the previous games. Mm-hmm. There's only, like, some little facts that show up as tooltips when you're loading. Those will sometimes have historical stuff, but I don't know, it's kind of neat that there's just a standalone thing with, like, no violence or anything, so you could have, like, a 6-year-old kid just go through and learn about Egypt in the video game. I wonder if they're trying to plan this for, like, schools or whatever. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of neat.
Yeah, it seems really cool. I would totally play it. I'll probably pick up Assassin's Creed Origins at some point just for that, because that seems really neat. All right, and that's gonna be it for the podcast. I think that's it.
Yep, short one today.
Short one today. It's kind of a slow news day too. Really, I mean, it's not a lot of big pressing news.
I mean, we could have talked about Atari's stupid fucking cryptocurrency bullshit, but who cares about that?
Yeah, I guess it's stupid. Yeah. Bottom line.
Yeah, it's dumb.
What? I don't understand. Tell me. What?
Atari announced they're doing a cryptocurrency, and they're going to have, like, Pong coins and some other one I forgot. And
what?
After that press release came out, their stock went up a whole bunch because investors are not very smart. And blockchain technology, oh boy! I'm an idiot. It's cool. It's the new cloud.
I can't believe this is real. I can't believe this is real.
I can. I mean, isn't, like, some anime company doing a crypto coin thing, too? I thought I saw that. I don't know.
Is everybody doing crypto coins now? Is that what this is? Okay. So I'm never going to be able to buy a GPU at a decent price? Okay. Well, that's great. That's great. What? Still what, though? But still... What? Can't believe this. I can't, and I'm just hearing this now, literally during the spot. I can't believe it.
I mean
good for them about the stock increase.
Dumb
That's
as
good.
Dogecoin or whatever, Dogecoin, Otaku Doge. Coin, and Pong, and all this other bullshit.
Huh. Well, there we go. We talked about it. I mean, diversify what you do, I guess, but. Seems sort of strange, but hey,
investors,
if you want to
love it, I don't know. People are
Atari,
stupid.
Yeah, if Atari wants to make it to be in Blade Runner, they have to do something, I guess. This is their future. They're going to be known more for the cryptocurrency than for the Pac-Mans. I mean, I guess, whatever. I don't know. All right. Well, that's the podcast. This has been Rom's of Baghdad, I guess. Send your emails to romfag@gmail.com. Tell me about what your cryptocurrency would be. If you can like us on iTunes, that'd be good. Look out for more podcasts this week. Should be some podcasts coming your way at some point.
Oh, really? Time
for that. Yes. That's it. Okay. Have a nice day. Have a nice week, everybody. Enjoy the video games out there. I've been your host, Albie. Good night.
Peace.
Are we the dark web now?